making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you again for joining us on Abounding Grace. We're continuing today, actually concluding our study of Perseverance of the Saints. And Perseverance of the Saints is the wonderful truth that those for whom Christ has saved will ultimately be brought to salvation. It kind of comes along with that really catchy phrase, once saved, always saved. It is true that those for whom Christ has shed his blood, those for whom the Father has given to him, he will lose none of them, but will raise them up at the last day. None can be plucked from his hand. Yesterday, I left you with a few things to consider. If that is true, when we consider about perseverance of the saints, if God knew our ingratitude in the first place, that God knew that we despised him and were totally depraved, are we to think that later on, he would give grace and then say, oh, well, they continually reject me and do bad things. Therefore, I'm going to pull my grace since they've been so disobedient. God's love, I said yesterday, is wholly in God. It has no view towards what is in us. Our justification is based on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith. It cannot be lost because it rests outside of us. And wholly because it is outside of us, our works do not come into play. So God, it's God's love for you that matters if you're a Christian today. And he goes on to say, this is so true, when we go on to say, the mistake that salvation can be lost is premised with the idea that God loves us for our own goodness. If at some point we become unlovable, then salvation can be lost. Now, I said yesterday, it's true, we must be growing in sanctification. A good tree will bear good fruit. God works that in his own sheep. But the point here is that we are all unlovable. Salvation rests wholly outside of us. It's not dependent upon us. Thus, those who are going around saying that we can lose salvation de facto are saying that salvation is dependent upon us, upon our own good works. That's why the teaching is so scary. I gave this example yesterday. Think about it. Wouldn't your knowledge of the future direct your actions now? If you knew that your good friend was going to steal your car, I doubt you would put a lot of trust in him to let him borrow it. So too, if God is all-knowing, omniscient, which he is, he knows everything, then surely he wouldn't set his love upon you today if later he knew you would reject him and be eternally lost. The point is that God doesn't give his grace with any view to our own works. It's sheer grace, so too all of our salvation is sheer grace. Those whom he has called will be called, justified, sanctified, and persevere to the end to be glorified, because the whole thing is of grace and not of works. Sure, perseverance is by faith. We must believe. That's not downplayed here. We must trust in Jesus, but even our faith is a gift given to us through what Christ did for us on the cross. Now, this brings us full circle. The teaching doesn't seem to fit our experience, and that's what we want to address today. What about the one we once knew who seemed to be a pillar in the church who has now rejected the faith? The question all comes down to this. We don't have access to the heart, do we? And everyone here knows, and everyone who's listening today knows, that we are a people who love to cover up our problems. I would hope that today the church is a place where we would ask our brothers and sisters to pray for what we're struggling with, a place to be open with each other. If we didn't cover up our problems to our Christian brothers and sisters, but learn to lean upon one another, I can't imagine how the edification of the body would jump off the scale. But we're people who are covered by these earthen vessels, and only God knows the heart. And the reality is that our perceptions of someone aren't always true. We are only left with what we see, but in reality, the behavior of a person walking away from a church, blatantly and saying, I'm done, tells us that salvation was never there in the first place. The scriptures are full of examples of those who were once in the church and later left. The church has known this time and time again. Those who make a profession of faith, but really, as one pastor said, know nothing of the Lord Jesus in sincerity and truth. Can someone fall into periods of sin and downfall? Absolutely. Spurgeon once said, "The believer is like a man on a shipboard who may fall again and again on the deck, but he will never fall overboard." A true Christian always returns to the fold. And as for those verses in Hebrews that at first glance seem to teach that salvation may be lost, Jesus answered by explaining that there are many different types of soils that hear the word of God, but that which produces and endures to the end will be saved, because it's by grace. Now, knowing that this is a reality, why do you think your pastors call you to belief every week? At least they should be. The reason is that Jesus told us that the church is a mixed body. "Test your hearts to see whether you be in the faith," said Paul. And that can be a very healthy thing. It is a very healthy thing, especially since the reality is that often before us is what 1 John 2:19 states. "They went out from us because they were not of us." I'm struck this morning in John chapter 6 with verse 40. After Jesus explains all of these things on the sovereign grace of God, he beautifully says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." I guess after all of this, someone might say, "Oh, well, I believe the scriptures teach this, but there still might be the possibility it's not for me." There's that also. There's another approach to this. Maybe it's not for me. If what you are saying is true, Pastor, then it is true for the elect, but how can I really know that I'm elect? What does Jesus say here? If someone from the crowd had yelled out such an assertion, he would have said the same thing. "Today you have seen him through the preaching of the word. You hear him right now over the radio in his word. He is sort of placarded before you. Since the word is the means of grace preached, the issue before you today is what? Everyone who believes Jesus will have everlasting life." Have you just heard his word proclaimed? Well, sure. Do you believe in the bread of life? I don't know your heart, but if you have come to Jesus in true faith, what then he says to you today in this word is true for all of those who believe. If you have said yes to that today and trusted in Jesus, if your life is given solely to him and you have come to him as the Savior, the only Savior who can save you from your sins, then know this, you are elected from the foundation of the world. Christ died for you, fully satisfying his Father's wrath against you. Grace has come to you today, and that is evident in the fact that you have come to Jesus. And do you know what his promise is to you today? He can't lose you. He must raise you up on that day. And so the plea today is, flee from the secular humanism that tells us that all of this comes down to us and to our works. It is. It's secular humanism. That these graces are contingent upon anything found in me. That's the religion of man. It presupposes that we are not totally depraved. And let me just say, every doctrine of grace, if you get total depravity wrong, you will not understand the doctrines of grace. We are totally depraved. Every bit of our who we are, extending to every part of who we are, is corrupted in sin. That's why we need the grace of God. And when we embrace the pure gospel of sheer grace, embracing these comforting doctrines of grace that are able to give you confidence and assurance that your salvation will be accomplished, it allows you to rest firmly in your Savior, Jesus Christ, who has completed all that was needed for your salvation and has assured you today that all that was given to him by his Father to bring every weary soul given to him by his Father to everlasting rest is yours too, as you have come to Jesus through the power of his life and his death and his resurrection. And so I want you to think about all the promises today that have been set before you. Salvation is reserved in heaven, says Peter, for those who have come to Jesus. None can be plucked from my hand, says Jesus. None of those given to me by my Father. All that the Father has given to me will come to me, and I will raise them up on the last day. I also think of Romans chapter 8. To those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. It gives a sort of a golden chain there. All of those given to him will come. They are his sheep. Have you come today? If you have not come today and you do not believe in Jesus and you continue to go down your life selfishly pursuing your own wills and your own lives, exalting yourself, trying to be your own God over the true God of heaven and earth, you have no comfort. You have no hope. You aimlessly grope about through this life, seeking and searching but never finding, trying to find happiness and always groping for it but always finding misery and emptiness. The things of this life and a love for the world will bring you only emptiness. Jesus is the only answer to what can fill you, and in coming to him, you can know for certain that this life is not it, but that he has promised and reserved heaven for you. I want to leave you again today with the words of John 6, that you might meditate him through this week and think about all that Christ has done for you. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and you yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Would love to hear from you or have you join us for worship this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. 318-0429 is the phone. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you. Oh, Lord.